Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Today's first reading contains what is justifiably one of the most popular verses in the Bible. Today's first reading concluded with sentences that used the following words: faint, weary, exhausted, powerless. And these words, strength, power, renew, run. God is portrayed as powerful, supremely and serenely powerful. And in today's message, God's opponents are dismissed as trivial, lightweight, temporary grasshoppers. He brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. And even the young, the prophet says, the young even will faint and grow weary and fall exhausted. But in contrast to the young, in contrast to princes and rulers, those who wait for the Lord will have their strength renewed. I think this passage is worthy of your attention. I think this famous passage is worthy of your meditation. I believe sincerely and profoundly that this might truly be God's word to us all right now in many ways and on many levels. This first reading is Isaiah chapter 40. This chapter of the Bible is so important to me that when I was ordained, I was allowed to pick one or two lessons for my ordination service, and I chose the first part of Isaiah chapter 40 because it is such an important message framed in eloquent poetry that is quite beautiful but sometimes sarcastic. Whenever I listen to George Frederick Handel's Messiah oratorio, it begins with an instrumental piece, an overture, the Sinfonia. And then the very first words of the oratorio begin. A tenor, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people. This morning's chapter of Isaiah is a new moment in that massive 66 chapter book. It is a new message to the Jewish people. It is a new reality in the history of the Jewish people. They once had a king. Now they had no king. These words were written a few decades after the last king. They once had a capital city. Now they had no city. And they were living as slaves in another land, Babylon. Once they had a temple that was a wonder of the ancient world, just 30 years, 50 years earlier. And now that temple was no more. Once they were proud, according to Isaiah, too proud. And now they have been brought low. This is the moment when God commands Isaiah to comfort his people, to speak tenderly to them, to tell them that princes and rulers are grasshoppers and grasses, to tell them that God will renew them Now, in hindsight, history shows that God did do that. He created a highway through the wilderness, to use Isaiah's words. He unlocked doors and opened gateways so that collectively the people were renewed. And the story of God's people continued, and the temple was rebuilt. And eventually Jesus would be in that rebuilt temple and that rebuilt city. And Christianity would come forth out of Judaism and Jerusalem. But nobody knew that 5.5 centuries before Jesus was born. All they knew was that they had lost a great deal. And today's lesson is God's word through the prophet to them to awaken and stir up their hope. I think that our particular kind of Christianity, let's say historic Protestant denominations, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Reformed, Methodist, sometimes called the mainline churches, sometimes called the European Protestants. Our particular kind of Christianity used to enjoy a position of social prestige and respect. Families were convinced that congregations like Dove of Peace were essential to their well-being, to their happiness, and to the direction of their lives. We had large and vast institutional resources, and now we are less. We have declined. Dove of Peace has fewer members and much older members than it had when it was founded 55 years ago. And Dove of Peace is by no means alone or unique. We are reflective of our denomination as a whole. And our denomination itself has not declined as much as some of our sister Protestant churches. I think we feel depleted. I know I do. Things that we once could take for granted in the life of our congregation, in the life of our denomination, in the life of the church, those things that we once could take for granted do not automatically happen anymore. We haven't lost as much as the Jews of the 6th century BC, but I think collectively, as a congregation, and as part of a family of congregations, and as part of a certain kind of Christian civilization and Christian civic society, we feel in our bones these words from Isaiah 40 this morning: faint, weary, exhausted, powerless. And we may wonder where God is. When you have 150 kids in Vacation Bible School, you may think, here is God, right here, singing that song about Zacchaeus that everybody sings. And Zacchaeus was a wee little man. That's like Vacation Bible School, right? When you don't have a Vacation Bible School, you may wonder where the presence of God is in our midst. That's definitely how the audience of Isaiah chapter 40 was feeling. There are two little pieces of Hebrew language that I want you to know about from this lesson today. One is about the wings of the eagles. Like many of us, the Israelites, the Jews, were fascinated by eagles and hawks. They are impressive creatures. They occur a great deal in the Bible as metaphors and images of God and God's power. Eagles. Let me pause to say, on this Super Bowl Sunday, I do not endorse any particular faction or party within the National Football League. But scholars and historians understand that the Jewish people hearing Isaiah's words, they believed that eagles shed their wings and grew new wings. Now, in our more scientific age, when we could go to the zoo, we call it molting. If you've ever been around a real eagle's nest, when they are molting, it is very impressive. The sheer volume of feathers, piles of them. I went to Alaska, piles of them. And the guide who took me by underneath this nest, you know, he said, "You can't take one. It's illegal, a bald eagle. Can't take one. A Native American can, but you can't." Impressive, the sheer volume of feathers. Eagles don't really lose their wings and grow new ones because we've lost that because we know them, we know science. But that's what the writers and readers of the Bible thought when they had to look up and see an eagle's nest and they saw this pile below it. So that peculiar language, "mount up with wings like eagles," is misleading. The original language really refers to growing new wings. So it really is a promise that those who wait for the Lord will grow new wings. It's not an image of flight and power. It's an image of renewal. And secondly, the language that says, "wait for the Lord," that's not as passive as it sounds. In fact, the Hebrew word in that phrase is often translated as "look for the Lord." Those who wait for the Lord, those who look for the Lord, those who seek the Lord shall renew their strength. They will get new wings like eagles do. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I even looked up weary and faint in Hebrew. Faint is sort of weak, just general weakness, being small, being frail. Weary is tired and burned out. Two different things. I'm sure you, like me, are perfectly capable of feeling both at the same time. So contrary to what you might have thought or heard when you've seen these words on a bumper sticker or you've seen these words on a sweatshirt, this is no glib or facile promise of God. This is a word of God to people who feel seriously down and out, who feel lost, who feel like losers in a world that emphasizes youth and power, a world where might appears to make right. So why do you say, "O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God"? And this is not a simplistic word of God about running marathons and getting gold medals. This is an encouragement to wait for God, to look for God, to open up to new ways and unexpected ways that God might be present and acting in our lives, rather than in the old idols and the old illusions that surround us, just as those Jews were surrounded by idols and false gods in Babylon. So, for many reasons and in many ways, this part of Isaiah, today's first reading, can and should be a word of encouragement. These words should speak to us personally, especially if we feel old and invisible in a society that worships the gods and idols of youthfulness. And these words speak to us collectively as congregations and churches that no longer enjoy the privileges and prestige that we once enjoyed, as Christians who must learn again what it is to be faithful, what it means to wait for the Lord. Amen.